Good afternoon. Today is Friday, June the 1st, 153rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon. Ooh, those aren't new new glasses, are they?
No, I think I stole them from somebody. They just appeared somewhere in my office.
Ah, criminal Dave Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to get off your chest?
Me.
Yeah. Busted, man. Oh. But you know, this breaks. I think I was figuring out this morning. I think it's been 17 years being in the 4 o'clock hour. Is that possible? I guess it was. Probably we spent more time in the afternoon than we did in the 8 o'clock hour. So now we're at 3 o'clock. So
am I like following Sean Hannity now?
You are.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So I probably have a bigger listening audience.
It's Limbaugh. Now. It's Hannity.
It's Tyson.
It's Tyson. Go ahead. You guys all figure that one out. Oh, boy. We got a whole laundry list here that Dave brought in. I'm sure we'll probably touch on maybe one of them.
That's
different
good.
Things to talk about. Yeah, so I'm not even going to tease this because I don't know where the first segment's going to go on this one.
Well, at the bottom of the list is the world.
The world. Good.
We can talk about the world.
Well, you know, I'm looking at three from the bottom or two from the bottom, but we can talk about the bottom as well when we come back.
I'm Jim Manji, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back.
Good for you.
I know. One for one. Yeah, I make no mistakes for 20 seconds. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, there's a simple one. Gold in my ear. Well, this is kind of like a management one.
Of course, we're very similar.
Yeah, in so many ways. Quote, I never did anything alone. Whatever I accomplished was accomplished collectively.
Correct. That's very good.
I don't know. I'm not going to start getting nice to you for the last 6 months, but I thought it was apropos.
I only have six more of these after this.
I know.
We ought to do a call-in show the last time I'm on.
You want all the past council members to be giving you calls all the time?
Well, not all of them.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of scuttled that idea.
There may be a couple out there.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want calling in.
Oh. So, David, as you look at what's going on out there, what is the number one issue right now that the city is dealing with?
There's so many.
No, you can't have number one A, B, C, D. That doesn't count.
Well, I would have to say the budget is probably high on our list right now with the council. And going through the fiscal year 2012-13 budget, and the council right now is in the process of, you know, setting priorities for their budget and identifying where we might have some needs that have been neglected over the last, you know, couple of decades with lack of revenues, and being real good stewards of the Measure O money that was voted in by the voters, which is the additional sales tax, and not being tempted to spend that money in a recurring way that it's going to obligate the city into the future for new expenditures. I think this council is being very prudent in its approach to the use of those monies and looking, of course, to fund public safety. Close to 80% of the money that's coming in from Measure O is funding public safety. And using the balance of those funds to fund programs that are important to the community and also to help kind of spruce things up, if you will, around the city. We're doing a lot of weed abatement, dealing with some neglected infrastructure maintenance like a roof on City Hall and painting the fired buildings and painting the Adorney Center, doing some maintenance projects like that. I think those are a lot of the kinds of things the council's dealing with in this process. I think the difficulty for them is going to come in trying to find a way to address all of the nonprofit requests that we've had. Traditionally, the city's spent about $75,000 on outside funded groups, you know, RSVP.
You're not talking charity. You're talking about nonprofit.
Senior citizen programs. And this year we have requests of over $250,000 from outside agencies. And this, you know, the council, and they're all worthwhile agencies. They provide worthwhile services. But and the council's going to, I know, struggle with how to, again, be prudent with its money and not overspend and not overcommit to those agencies asking for dollars.
So the, well, let's call it the PR budget for the city.
Sure.
Are the requests up because they're generating less revenue on their own and haven't adjusted their own budgets, or because word is out that the city of Eureka has monies, and boy, we want to get our share too, and so the requests are in, not because of anything other than some of these groups now understanding that you do have monies.
I think it's both, and also I think another category, which are the ones that have, you know, cut their budgets to the point where they're going to have to, you know, go out of business. One in particular that we'll all recognize is the Boys and Girls Club. They're finding themselves in a very difficult position financially, and they're looking for ways to strengthen their programs with funding. And for the first time in, you know, the 20-plus years I've been with the city, they're actually, you know, seeking assistance from the city in the form of some type of contribution towards their program. One idea that we have had with them, rather than you know, giving them a grant, if that were the case by the council, would be to partner with them and have them run some of our youth recreational programs. And maybe that there's some kind of relationship there that we can establish that brings them some income, takes some burden off the city's general fund, and we both come out of it as winners. But I think we've seen also those agencies that have just, you know, that their programs are getting more and more expensive. They're running out of money. And then those that, like you say, we want our turn at the trough as well.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. So what are you going to do with your extra hour?
Today?
Today. Are you going to go home early?
No.
Because we suck all the energy out of you?
I get to leave and go back to the office and work another 2 hours.
Kind of like me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But this way, I don't work till 7 o'clock at night. I work till 6 o'clock. You know, so it's a great benefit.
Oh, I'm tearing up. Dave, you talked about using some of the dollars to clean up the weeds and some of the ugly stuff in town. But you kind of stayed away from one location that I know. We've got locals, we've got businesses, we've got tourists looking at the courthouse, obviously. You know the situation. I think everybody's familiar with the background. Are you sensing that there's a building tidal wave, building pressures on everybody to get this situation cleaned up?
We're talking about the Occupy.
Oh, now you let the secret out.
Well, you know, some people out there don't may not know.
I think anybody driving through Eureka has a really good sense really quick.
And I would say that everyone that sees it is supportive of our rights of free speech and right of assembly. We all support that. My worry on this now is that the occupiers, whatever you want to call them, homeless people, the protesters.
I'm calling them anarchists because they're not part of the Occupy.
I don't believe they are either. I think what's happening there is that there's a toehold, and it's the wanting to see how far the issue can get pushed until the government or of the whether it's the county, city, or state gets enough pressure by its the electorate to do something about it. And my fear there is that, you know, what ends up happening in that case is we unnecessarily then spend resources that we don't have on policing and on court trials and litigation and a lot of time gets spent. For instance, just the other day we had a meeting regarding the protesters, and I would guess there were 20 people in the room, and most of them, like myself, you know, make a wage that's close to $50 an hour or more, and you put benefits on that. So, in the hour we were sitting there, we probably spent couple thousand dollars of the public's money just meeting to discuss what can be done to address the general public's concern that the this area of our community has been taken over and has become an eyesore for what otherwise is a very, you know, beautiful community. And I think what's happened now is the public is very tolerant of the protest, of the signs and people standing there. But when you have chaise lounges being set up or lazy boys being set up and chairs, office chairs being set up so they can roll around on the sidewalk, and you know, the general public is very, very frustrated, and we're hearing about it again, as we did when it was first happening, you know, 5-6 months ago. It's as loud now or louder by the public and wanting us to address this situation. So begun meeting again on this topic.
So we've got the background now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I did ramble
right.
a bit.
Yeah, it's...
It's typical, right?
It's your want, yeah. You know, we got 3 minutes, and then we, you know, probably, you know, I'll forget about it during the break. And
we have 2 minutes now, though.
2 minutes? Oh, okay. So, 2 minutes. See, you got me off the rail. If this was at 6th and K, instead of 4th and I, how different would it be handled?
Well, it would have been trespassing from the get-go, and and I think that's where the county's headed with their ordinance. That, you know, the grounds are open during office hours, but after office hours, it's trespassing, even though it's public property. So it would have been addressed. There would have been arrests. There would have been, you know, you can't protest past a certain time. The difficulty now is it's in this. Never land area of, is it county jurisdiction? Is it Caltrans jurisdiction? It's not city property. And so we're trying to work through the maze of bureaucracies. Yes, even cities go through that, of whose jurisdiction it is and what laws can we use to enforce the public's right to ingress and egress and their right to have their public property free of, you know, garbage and free of other things that they can enjoy the use of that property as well. And right now the public is not able to enjoy the county courthouse or the areas around the courthouse without being harassed, without being having to deal with public waste or human waste. and garbage. And
no, public waste is inside the building, man. Come on.
Hey, those are my bros.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Dave Tyson.
Now, a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:36. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson because he likes to talk.
I guess that's why you call it talk shop.
Yeah. If it was just about buying, it'd be shopping shop. Yeah, we'd be on remotes all the time, and the budget would have to at least be doubled to cover that.
You could do a remote. You can come to my office sometime and do a remote. Bring Aaron.
Oh, we could do that.
Yeah.
But then consider what the staff would talk about you. Because we'd have to have the crowd mics then. And
I could have the cheering.
In. Cheering?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seagulls on the air would do sound good. Walmart's looking like it's going to be opening in the next little bit.
Yeah, I think June 10th is the grand.
I don't know. They haven't given us a phone call about anything, so I'm just saying the next little bit. Thanks for the update. with their opening, I know you guys didn't have it in your budget. I know you don't have it in your budget projected because you don't play smoke and mirrors in that area. Let me say it differently. You don't play smoke and mirrors in that area. Yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah. What?
Those are what we call nice surprises in the budget.
What do you anticipate the impact will be, net impact, to retail shopping in Eureka?
Well, a certain amount of it will be spread around. You know, shoppers at Kmart, Target, you know, the like will go to Walmart. But we do have a great amount of leakage in Humboldt County and in Eureka. And I think we will see, and it'll be interesting to see how much net, because I think we, in those categories of general merchandise, we can tell how much, you know, things have gone up, because we do track our sales tax by location, but we also track it by, category. And we'll be able to tell how much, you know, things have changed in that. I would say something of this size would generate probably in the neighborhood of, I'm going to be conservative, but, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 in new revenue for the city.
Yeah.
I mean, after you take out the transference of dollars between, you know, Target and Kmart and the other shops that will be in that same general merchandise category.
Do you guys project where those dollars will come from or what the impacts are to other businesses in the community, or is that something the big boys do and your staff size doesn't really allow
that? We do a certain amount of that.
I'm thinking in the food part.
Yeah,
retail's pretty easy, but with the food, you got a number of big box foodies, you've got a bunch of independents, you've got folks in the neighborhood, you got folks across town, all over the place. Where do you see the food dollars coming from?
Yeah, that one is harder to track, but you know, we have Winco, which is a very popular store in our community.
Two blocks away,
and I don't see this impacting Winco all that much. I mean, and And I like everything in Humboldt County, when it's new, it's going to be overwhelmed. I remember I was working in Arcata when Kmart opened here locally, and I was
You are older than me.
Blown away.
I was still in school.
I know you were.
Okay.
I was blown away when I saw the lines vehicles going to a Kmart.
I read that.
Rap on Kmart. It's just, you know.
I read the newspaper of that. It was in 82, I think.
Yeah.
And my roommate looked at me and he said, are you kidding me?
Eureka provided buses and.
Yeah. It was a cultural event. And do you think this is going to be that magnitude?
I believe so. I was at the Target grand opening, same thing, lines around the building. We tend to celebrate these kinds of things in our community.
We're bored and isolated. We don't have much going on in our lives.
Well, I think people are interested anyway. And
it'll be interesting for me, and I don't know what your guys' relationship is with Bayshore Mall, to see if this – spills over into some of the many unfilled slots.
I think it will.
And that things will start happening down there again.
We have a good relationship with Bayshore Mall, the new owners as well. Past owner, the general manager here locally, she and I went to elementary school together. And so we had a great relationship. I mean, she could call and chew me out and vice versa. But we have a good working relationship with Bayshore Mall, and they call on us, we call on them for different things.
As we were touching on the homeless thing, behind Bayshore certainly is one of the major hangouts or encampments or towns or whatever you guys reference them as.
Borough.
Yeah. Good. Now you can have a borough chief represented on the board. Yeah.
Maybe it should be its own ward.
Yeah. I don't know. What positive impact do you see with this? Do you think it's going to cause anything, or because it's on the other side of the fence or the other side of the track, so to speak, not much other than the security folks are going to have to cruise the parking lots a little bit more?
I think you're going to see that the Bayshore Mall is going to need to, especially here initially with more patrols in the back of their property. The area in Palco Marsh, Parcel 4, which is right behind Bayshore Mall, is a huge law enforcement concern, public safety concern. And we're constantly spending taxpayers' dollars in cleaning that site, those areas, policing those areas, dealing with
those areas,
fire issues and public medical issues there. Well, I'm hoping that we're proposing a trail now to go through there rather than the waterfront drive, and the trail will be a Class 1 trail, so we'll be able to get at least emergency response vehicles back into those areas to deal with some of the activity. And make it a little more comfortable for the average person to be back there, because law enforcement can drive a vehicle back there and patrol it occasionally. Doesn't mean they're going to be back there all the time, but at least deal with some of the issues. And we're also working with the Coastal Conservancy to clean the area up with, just basically an enhancement program. So I think in the next, 3 to 5 years, that area will be completely changed back there, and general public will feel a lot more comfortable.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:43. We'll be back with more from Dave Tyson.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. Dave, the recruitment for somebody who could warm your chair the way that only Dave Tyson's been able to warm it for so many years.
12.
No, I thought you were going to talk about the chair.
Oh,
okay.
Oh.
The 12.
23.
Years.
Oh. You know, you just wanted to keep throwing numbers out?
Yeah.
35.
That would be the number in the fan club, right?
It's Friday.
Is it on pace? Is it where you wanted it to be for Merle's permanent replacement or for yours?
Police chief, we're doing the interviews this next week, depending on how that goes and who rises to the top of that process. We could have a new chief on the council's agenda for appointment probably the first part of July.
That immediate?
Yeah. Okay. And it depends on, you know, where they're at, you know, as far as their careers and where they live and all those things, how soon they would be here. And then for the city manager position, I have on next week's agenda a item for them to start that recruitment process and hire a outside recruiting firm to come in and do
get ahead
search.
Of her and get it going. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get it started probably the first part of June or July if they choose to go that route. And
is there another option?
They could do it internally, I guess. I wouldn't recommend that only because you know, the position of city manager, I think, is something you want to have someone, an executive search firm that has the experience in finding those candidates and really calling them out so that, you know, you don't end up with somebody who's just a looky-loo or somebody who...
You mean like last time?
Or somebody who's here only as a means to go somewhere else, those kinds of things.
I mean, you know, 12 years. Come on, give me a break. You hardly warmed the chair, and now you're gone.
Yeah, just a flash in the pan.
Well, that's got to be weird, going through that whole process, and by the time somebody knows what the street names are, they got the resume out, and they're looking somewhere else. And I understand that's part of the
part
breed
of
the cat.
It's part of the game. It's part of the
that's
culture.
That's so weird.
It's part of the culture.
Does it have to be?
Well, I mean, I was here for 12 years.
Yeah, but you're local, and
yeah, I know.
You know, you get a little dingy, and you know, play without a helmet on and all that kind of stuff. But is there a way to be able to get somebody who really can lock down for a long time?
I think so. I have lots of associates who are working in communities that, one of my mentors worked in a community in Santa Rosa for 27 years. And he's, you know, he was there for almost his entire career. And
so it is possible.
It is, and there's a lot of those out there that spend their career or a majority of their career in one place. And I think that's what an executive search firm can do, is find you someone who is a stable candidate who is looking to, you know, set down some roots.
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 Roots. Thanks for coming by,
Thank
Dave.
You.
Not really sure what he just said, but that's okay. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.